channeling donated airplanes to educational programs and making it all work. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature. My guest this time around is Lynn Freeman, who has a PR agency based in Malibu, California, but is better known among aviation folks as the chairman of Build-A-Plane. And we're here to talk about that project today. Lynn, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks, Paul. Very nice to be here.
Lynn, I remember when this program was announced a while back, I looked at it and I thought to myself, wow, you know, if this could actually work, if someone could actually convince people to give them airplanes and parts, what a great idea this would be. So I guess the question, first question would be, have you been able to do that?
Well, to my great surprise, I should say, I have been so surprised at how many airplanes have been donated to Build-A-Plane. When we're finished with our distribution, we'll have close to 50 airplanes out there that have been donated to Build-A-Plane that we have then donated to high schools and youth groups around the country who want to build a plane.
This is kind of young eagles from the A&P side. Would that be a fair way to nutshell it?
I think it certainly includes that, but Build-A-Plane goes far beyond just airframe and power plant. We are very happy to know that airplanes offer an opportunity to become a teaching tool for just about anything you can think of in the categories of science, mathematics, engineering, technology. You know, kids can learn about geosynchronous satellite orbits and GPS navigation. They can learn electricity. They can learn higher math in aerodynamics. There's just any number of things that can be applied to a real airplane.
Tell us, I guess at this point, for our listeners who aren't familiar with the program, how Build-A-Plane started, what the structure of it is, and just how it was put together.
Yeah. Well, actually, several years ago, I had this idea. You know, I was the editor of Plane and Pilot magazine at the time. And, of course, I was confronted daily with, you know, sometimes some distressing, disturbing numbers about the decreasing number of pilots, what was happening to the aging aircraft fleet. I looked at the expense involved in learning to fly now or owning an aircraft, and it just seemed increasingly difficult for young people to get involved in aviation. And I was a kid who grew up with a father that had a Piper Clipper, and so I had a great time flying around the country. It was a huge part of my youth, and it's a big part of my life today still. So it was sad to me that it was becoming more difficult for kids to access that. So I just imagined, very naively in the beginning, that, gee, you know, high schools have they have auto mechanics programs. So if they were going to build cars and carburetors, you know, why couldn't they also build a plane? So that's kind of where it all began. And I just tossed the idea out in Plane and Pilot magazine and said, hey, I would say that there's a bunch of kids out there that would love to do this. And I say that there's a bunch of people out there that wouldn't mind donating their airplanes. And I say that there's a group of adults that wouldn't mind mentoring. And I say that there's high schools that would be interested. And, you know, you guys can tell me whether I'm right or not. And the response was overwhelming, and we've been in business since then.
How long has that been? When did the program start and where?
The program began in 2003, and it, I guess it started in my office at Plane and Pilot magazine. And we now have a large advisory board that includes people like Jack Pelton from Cessna and Alan Klapmeyer from Cirrus and Bert Rutan and Patty Wagstaff and just all kinds of people who came forward to support getting more and more aviation in front of kids.
Aviation in front of kids. I think I see two opposing theories as to why that's not happening more often. One is it's not as accessible as it used to be. Our post 9/11 age makes it difficult to be that airport rat that, you know, many of us were when we were young. The other argument, though, is that kids just are not as fascinated by flying as they once were. Now that they can have a handheld game device that, you know, can very accurately simulate space flight if somebody wants to put a game out for it, that the idea of aerodynamic flight where wind moving over a surface provides lift and all that just is not as exciting a concept as it was maybe in the 1950s and 60s. Do you see validity in either or both of those?
Well, I certainly agree with you that the access to aviation is certainly more difficult after 9/11. I don't think there's any argument there. I think that the culture of aviation has changed to the point that it's just not a place. I mean, you don't find kids hanging out at airports anymore. The Rockwellian analogy of a kid hanging on the chain link fence, you know, looking at the airplanes, you don't see that happening. And yes, I think it's true that kids are certainly attracted to all the electronic media that's available to them today as a source of entertainment, but you kind of have to understand that one of the things that makes that so interesting is that it's a handheld live interaction, hands-on kind of an experience that they have. And that fits in perfectly with Build a Plane, because all of the projects that we have in Build a Plane are that same kind of hands-on opportunity. It's not listening to a lecture. It's not, you know, looking at a slideshow in the classroom or a PowerPoint, as kids might be seeing now. And still, all of the surveys that they do now with kids, when they ask kids, what are your favorite things? You know, what are the things that excite you? Survey after survey after survey, after research after research after research, returns that kids like dinosaurs, airplanes, and rockets. And two of those three things are available in Build a Plane.
You know, Lynn, there are times when I have occasion to be working with my wife and supervising three-year-olds in a nursery setting. And when we take them out for a walk and a plane goes over, they do look up and point. So I guess some of that magic is still there. I'm Paul Plack. We're in Lakeland, Florida, with Lynn Freeman of Build a Plane. We'll be back in a moment. This AeroCast is brought to you by Aircraft Engine Services, makers of the aluminum V220 and V300T engines.
How smart is the engine in your aircraft? Automotive engineering has advanced so much over the past 30 years that you almost never have to raise the hood. Why can't an airplane engine be just as smart and just as reliable? Now it can. Check out the new V220 and V300T from Aircraft Engine Services and their state-of-the-art engine management system. Both the V220 and the V300T feature a fully redundant and certified engine management system that controls all engine operation parameters. This EMS includes a true FADEC that manages propeller pitch and other elements of engine operation not usually controlled by the EMS in piston aircraft engines. The EMS automatically provides an optimum fuel mix by constantly measuring the manifold pressure, ambient pressure, engine speed, and throttle positioning, and calculating the appropriate fuel injection timing for each cycle and cylinder. The AES V220 and V300T, as simple as a car's engine, but oh, so much more fun to drive. Check us out on the web at theaircraftengine.com or call us at 321-268-3718. Aircraft Engine Services, the shape of things to come.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Okay, you got the license and now you're renting or even own a plane. Now what? Hi, I'm Tom Gresham, host of Wings to Adventure Television, and every week on the Outdoor Channel, we show you incredible places you can visit in your plane. Shot in spectacular high definition, Wings to Adventure captures cool planes, interesting people, and fly-in getaways you haven't heard of. Plus, we always have fun. There's more info at wingstoadventure.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, and I'm here in Lakeland with Lynn Freeman, the chairman of Build a Plane. Lynn has had a publishing background and a PR background, and in 2003 turned his talents to trying to put together, what should we say, orphaned or otherwise unwanted aircraft with programs that would put them to good use in helping kids get in touch with aviation. Lynn, let's talk specifically about how this program works. I know personally of a couple of ancient ramp queens that probably are never going to get flown again. And I know that this is a tough decision for somebody who has a plane in that category. Maybe some other planes are not that old and in disrepair, but are, it for some other reason, candidates for donation. What happens to these planes when they're put into the Build a Plane program? Where do they go? What are they used for?
Well, actually, Paul, what Build a Plane does is we basically are aircraft brokers, if you will, in that we solicit aircraft donations, and then we take those donations and send them to an interested group. And that's really where our role ends, in that we provide a teaching tool for the schools. And we leave it completely up to the school, since that's their profession, is how they want to teach and how they want to use this tool, to determine what the future of that will be. In some cases, the aircraft become a permanent fixture in the school and are used for A&P training. They're used in the science program. They're used in a variety of ways. In other programs, we actually will see the aircraft fly. For example, we're in partnership with the FAA. We signed a formal partnership agreement with Marion Blakey last year, and they've been very helpful to help us promote Build a Plane. And one of the outflows of that memorandum that we signed with the FAA is our partnership with them in Alaska, where we are seeking to put Build a Plane projects into remote Alaskan villages. And in just about a week from now, Federal Express will pick up a Thorpe T-211 torpedo that's been manufactured in Bangalore, India. Federal Express is flying it from India to Anchorage, Alaska, and then it's being moved by a local carrier from Anchorage to a place called Hooper Bay, which is 500 miles from the nearest road. And about 94% of the population there is Yupik Eskimo. And these kids at the local high school there will build this Build-A-Plane project and get their light aircraft repair certificate along the way. And then those who want to can take the next part of the program, which is actually getting a sport pilot's license in flying the Build-A-Plane project that they created.
Well, that has to be at the high end of expectations for what happens to these planes. I think there probably are a lot of high school technical programs or science programs that use it as a tool for real world modeling of concepts in, you know, Bernoulli's law, Newton's laws of motion, all that sort of thing. I guess one of the obvious questions that occurs to me is, where does a school, a typical school, put a plane if it's donated to them? How do they cope with this incoming donation?
Well, that's a great question, and it's one of the limiting factors, actually, in the Build-A-Plane program, is that schools have to have some kind of space to do the work, obviously. It's different than doing a math class, where a chalkboard and some desks will meet the needs. In a lot of cases, schools have defunct auto mechanics classrooms, which have become the new Build-A-Plane classrooms. In other cases, schools have actually completed their construction off-site at a local airport in a donated hangar, by hook or crook, any kind of space that they can find. And each one of these projects really has its own separate requirements, because very few of the Build-A-Plane donations are the same airplane. We've gotten everything from Chieftains and Navajos down to little two-seat composite or dope and fabric aircraft that people have donated. We've gotten aircraft donated that are airworthy flying aircraft, and others that are crashed. People can just log on to the Build-A-Plane website, which oddly enough is buildaplane.org, www.buildaplane.org, and they can click on a portion on the home page that allows them to fill out a form to donate their aircraft, and we'll be right in touch. There's also a section there where schools or other youth groups that are interested in having a Build-A-Plane project can log right on and fill out a form, and we'll be in touch, and that's how we put the groups together.
Well, we will link you from the place where folks found this Aerocast as well. Do you have kind of any kind of feel for how many of these become short or limited-term projects or defined-term projects, and how many of them become perpetual fixtures that are used as demonstration tools?
Well, I think it's early for us to know, Paul. I mean, with only 3 years of history behind us at Build-A-Plane, we're seeing so far none of the aircraft have flown. But a lot of the aircraft have been already put in serious duty in schools that are using them for the more mechanical vocational applications like A&P. So I think the answer to your question really will come in time.
Well, Lynn, we really appreciate your taking some time out from what I know is a busy schedule for you here in Lakeland, and we wish you the best of success with the program. We'll link as many people your way by the web as possible.
That would be so fantastic. The more the merrier. We've got a lot more schools that would like to have an aircraft, and we have aircraft. So anybody that could log on and investigate us at our website, we'd be forever in their debt.
My guest has been Lynn Freeman of Build a Plane, and you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.